Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for USAID's FY16 Quarter 4 Business Forecast Review Call. My name is Rachel Chilton, and I am a communications specialist here at the Office for Acquisition and Assistance. Before we get started, I want to provide a few quick reminders to everyone on the call. We will be recording this call and posting it on our website later this afternoon, along with a full transcript of all Q&A submitted. Everyone is currently muted, so we also ask that you please do not put us on hold or else we will hear background music. We are excited to be here today, and we have around 350 people who have RSVP'd for the call this morning. We have a few folks in the room who will be answering your questions, and I'd like to briefly allow everyone in the room to introduce themselves.
Roy Plucknett here, Director, MOA. Good morning, everyone.
Mark Walter, Washington Deputy for Roy.
Oh. Good morning, everyone. I'm Kimberly Ball. I'm the Deputy Director in the OSABU office.
Good morning. I'm Mandy Daigle. I'm a USAID MOAA Foreign Service Officer.
Great. Thank you. In total, we received approximately 230 questions. We appreciate your continued interest in sending us questions for each quarter. And for today's call, similar to what we have done the last few quarters, rather than going through all 230 questions, we will highlight just a few of the general questions that were submitted. Again, later today, we will be posting all of the questions and answers on our business forecast webpage. We will notify all of you through our ANA email distribution list, as well as post on our Twitter handle, at USAIDBizOps. Thank you once again for joining us today. I would now like to turn it over to Roy for a few intro remarks.
Well, thanks, Rachel. Good morning again, everyone. And, looking forward to the next few minutes to share with you some of the questions and responses that we have, and then getting the full answers to the 230 or so questions out to you immediately thereafter. Thanks again for the time you've taken to prepare your questions and submit them. Been a lot of excellent questions that were submitted, and I keep repeating and that we are committed to continuing to improve the business forecast. Your feedback is important to us, and I appreciate your taking the time to do that. As you are partners, you play a critical role in helping us achieve our mission around the world, and I know that the business forecast is a very important part of our partnership together. And as I mentioned, we're committed to continuing to improve it. Now, for the second quarter in a row, we've used our new timeline for updating all of our acquisition and assistance plan data to turn around the business forecast. I think, as you recall, the quarter before I came on board in February, it took us about 8 weeks to publish the business forecast after we pulled the information from the A&A plan. So the information was somewhat outdated in some cases, but we convened here with senior leadership and MOAA, and we committed to ourselves to address this issue and improve the timeliness and accuracy of the data. So we've gotten it down to 8 days, and we're going to hold ourselves to that time frame to turn this around. So what that means for the partner community is the information is more accurate and more timely. And you can plan on receiving it at an expected time frame within each quarter. And you should see it published in late October, January, April, and July. So we'll continue to raise awareness around the importance of the business forecast among all USAID staff around the world. Just yesterday, I had the opportunity to address incoming mission and deputy mission directors about my office priorities, and this included the business forecast and stressing what an important resource this is to the business community and our partner community. So once again, I want to thank you for joining us today and the time you've taken to submitting your questions. And as always, we appreciate your feedback and are happy to continue this dialogue. So thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Roy. Our first question is for Roy. It appears that the trend within USAID is to utilize more and more contracts and task orders and less cooperative agreements and grants. And looking at the current quarter four forecast, there are well over twice as many contracts and task orders as cooperative agreements and grants. Does USAID have a preference for contracts, and will this trend continue?
Thank you, Rachel, and thanks for the question. USAID has no preference. for contracts versus assistance awards. Our selection of the appropriate instrument type is based on an analysis which is outlined in ADS 304 and documented in a choice of instrument memorandum before we move forward with either assistance or acquisition. The trends from our FY 2015 progress report show an approximate 30% split for acquisition and 70% for assistance over the past three fiscal years, and this current fiscal year to date, we're following that same trend. So, thank you.
Great, thank you. The next question is for Mandy. A number of opportunities we were following were dropped from the quarter four forecast. In some cases, we assume they ended up coming out as task orders, and for others, we're not sure what the reason was for them being dropped. We kindly request that if an opportunity is dropped from the forecast, instead of just removing the entry, could USAID please indicate that it is intentionally being dropped as well as the rationale for it?
That's a very good question. We encourage USAID ANA plan users to list a canceled status in the last column. You'll see that under business forecast status change on the business forecast for the following quarter before an action is removed from future forecasts. We will be sure to include a reminder to AOs and COs in our next call for updates on the next business forecast.
Great. Thank you, Mandy. This next question is from Mark. In the current business forecast, there appears to be a heavy reliance on IQCs and IDIQs, yet not a single LWA. Is USAID no longer using the LWA mechanism? And if so, what is the rationale for continuing to use IQCs and IDIQs?
Thanks, Rachel. We still do use both the LWAs and IDIQs. However, historically, IDIQs have been much more numerous than LWAs. As many of you know, the IDIQs allow mission and operating units to order a range of discrete services within the scope of the contract, and very limited funds are needed to execute the actual base awards for the multiple award IDIQs. LWAs, on the other hand, allow missions and operating units to replicate the leader program in whole or in part, piggybacking really off the leader award, and it must be within the program description. However, in LWAs, there does need to be a leader program and a funded leader program to carry out that task.
Great. Thank you, Mark. The next question is for Mark again. Many of the opportunities listed in the quarter four forecast are listed as task order or delivery orders under different IDIQs. This is a two-part question. For those entries where the award or action type is listed as a task order or delivery order, can USAID please provide the instrument under which the task order or delivery order will be issued? Second, USAID procures services under many different IDIQs. However, it is not always easy to find the holders of those IDIQs. Previously, USAID had put information about IDIQ holders and their subcontractors on the USAID website. In an effort to improve transparency and communication with industry, can USAID please put key information about IDIQs, including the holders of those IDIQs and their subcontractor, on the website or some other publicly available location?
Thanks, Rachel. In regard to the first part, we have begun adding the mechanism associated with the task order. So we will try to focus on that more and improve in that particular area, but we are trying to add that information in, usually under the description section. Separately, on the second part, the agency has reintroduced or reinstituted the process of posting a list of our active IDIQ awardees. We will plan to update that on a quarterly basis in sync with the business forecast and the ANA planning efforts. So you will see that updated again each quarter going forward. And we appreciate the insights and the value that that provides to you.
Great, thank you. The next question is for Kimberly. Looking at the USAID business forecast, is there any chance that USAID will begin to set aside for women-owned or economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses? The forecast does not show any economically disadvantaged or women-owned small business set-asides, and as of July 5th, USAID was only showing 2.44% of contracts awarded to women-owned small business firms, which is half the federal goal of 5%.
Okay, if I could, Rachel, start with the second half of that question first and say that historically USAID has had a very strong performance in women-owned small business. While we struggled a bit last year in only achieving 3.67, in 2013 we're at 5.02%, and in 2014 we were in 6.42%. And I'd also like to remind folks that we're coming into the, as we approach the end of the fourth quarter, that these numbers are going to change significantly as more obligations and awards are made. Having said that, though, procurements that are posted on the business forecast are posted prior to our conducting official market research. If the market research shows that that there are a number of women-owned small businesses that can perform the task, then that procurement may be set aside at the discretion of the CO. To make sure that COs are aware of their ability to do this, women-owned small business is something that we cover in our small business training program that we've been conducting around the world. And also later this year, later in calendar year 2016, we're planning to do some additional internal training on the women-owned small business program so our COs are aware of what they can and can't do as it relates to that program. And of course, having said all of that, if you see something on the forecast that you think could be or should be set aside for a woman-owned small business, then we would encourage you to reach out to the CO that's identified on the business forecast. You can also reach out to our office, but again, there need to be at least two of you in order for us to even consider setting that aside. So we will do our part in terms of continuing to train our staff here in Washington, but we'd ask that you do your part as well in making sure that you're keeping an eye out for these things and letting us know where that opportunity exists if we haven't highlighted it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Roy, the next question is for you. In the Q&A to previous forecasts, USAID committed to reviewing whether the agency could come up with narrower ranges in order to give prospective partners more specific guidance regarding the specific size of awards. Could USAID please update us on the status of that effort?
Sure. Thanks, Rachel. This question has come up before, and we previously mentioned that we're open to narrowing the dollar values. And we had asked in the past for partners to provide input on better dollar ranges. However, to date, we haven't received any feedback or input. So we're certainly welcome to it. And if you have ideas on this, please let us know, and we will certainly take your suggestions into consideration. So, yes, we're open to it, and we're looking for your feedback. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Mandy, the next question is for you in regards to missions missing from the business forecast. We noted that Burma does not appear on the current mission forecast. Does this mission have any upcoming opportunities?
For the fourth quarter of this fiscal year, the mission does not have any new competitive actions. The forecast will be updated in FY17 to reflect all actions.
Great. Thank you, Mandy. Mark, the next question is for you. We commend USAID in its continuous improvements to the business forecast. It is immensely helpful to have this information regarding the agency's procurement pipeline. However, once a solicitation is released, it is difficult to access information on awards and ongoing projects. USAID used to have a publicly accessible list of all of its projects called the Yellow Book. The Yellow Book only contained very basic information, such as project name and number, country, dates of implementation, budget total, and name of implementing partner, but it was an indispensable resource. Does anything like that currently exist? And if not, would USAID consider making publicly available a master list of ongoing and completed projects, much like it does for procurement opportunities?
Thanks, Rachel. Our recommendation is to check out foreignassistance.gov. We believe the bulk of the information that historically was in the Yellow Book that you can find in foreignassistance.gov, and you can sort and slice and dice that information that's there. And what's not there, obviously, is everything is recorded in usspending.gov. But we believe the type of information you're looking for that foreignassistance.gov will answer your question.
Great. Thank you, Mark. This next question is for Mandy. During previous forecasts and Ask the Procurement Executive sessions, MOAA announced that all missions would establish email addresses for questions on planned procurements. Could USAID please update partners on the status of that effort?
Sure. USAID is still in the process of communicating and implementing the idea of mission email boxes for partners to submit questions. However, once we have been able to get all of our missions to set up the email box, we will publish the contact information on our business forecast webpage for you to use.
Great, thank you. And we have one final question, general question today. This question is for you, Roy. Recently, several RFPs have been announced where the fee was required to be fully based on deliverables under completion-type contracts. No base fee was allowed. Given that the fee also covers expenses that cannot be covered by indirects, such as but not limited to the cost of money, this practice does not reflect an understanding of the business requirements for operating in this environment where a contractor is supplying the funds to cover costs well before they are billed and paid. We note that nonprofits have a different financial structure, so this procedure unfairly advantages them. Is it possible to modify these kinds of incentive programs to allow at least a base fee to be paid so that contractors can cover essential business expenses not covered by indirect rates?
My turn. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks for the question. So I would say that any questions regarding the fee structure in a specific solicitation needs to be raised with the cognizant contracting officer before the solicitation closes, especially if it's planned, the proposed structure may unfairly advantage one type of offer over another. And the CO can then examine the issue and determine if an amendment is possible or necessary to maximize partner participation and ensure adequate competition. So, you know, this is something that this should be raised in the Q&A session before the RFP closes and proposals are due. So the earlier you flag it to the CO, the better off you are. So thanks for the question.
Great. Thank you. Does anyone else have anything to add?
No, other than, we appreciate the number of questions that have come in, and we look forward to continuing with the business forecast on a quarterly basis, and we always welcome ways that we can work to improve it to make it a more useful tool for everyone. So thank you, everyone, for your participation today.
Thank you all for joining us. We will be posting this recording along with all of our questions later this afternoon and notifying you through our email distribution list.